And we are rolling. Hello.
Welcome.
Hello,
everyone.
Look, it's John Patrick Robichaud.
All the way from up here in Canada.
I'm so glad you have embraced your country's fate.
the eventual renaming fate.
Yes. Yeah. From lovely, beautiful Toronto, which apparently actually only has two syllables, not three.
Well, that depends on who you speak to, but yes, very commonly it's pronounced Toronto. It's also, unfortunately, sometimes called Trana, which is even worse.
Oh, no. No, no. That's not.
Yeah, it's not. A bad scene. It's a bad scene. But that's fine, because, you know, it just happens to be the place that I live. And it's very lovely right now, I have to say. It's many, many people, I think, are a bit dismayed by the current weather conditions. It's 19 degrees out right now, which I know sounds...
Did you say that in American?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what it would be in American. I want to say... Just as a guess, I want to say like low 60s, but I'm not even sure if that's...
You're killing me. See, I would pull up a thing on my computer and figure it out, but...
Well, I'm pulling up a thing on my computer and figure it out. Well,
mess
yeah,
up my
hey, look at that. I guess
thing.
it's 66.
No, there you go. You are exactly correct.
I was pretty close.
That is the mid-60s.
So it's nice. It certainly is my kind of summer happening up here. I know that I have many people in my life who require the heat, who feel bad when they don't get it, who require the sun, and who get kind of sick and moody when they don't get it.
Right.
So for their sake, I hope we have a little bit more summer. Personally, I'm just prepared to move right into October.
It's been actually really perfect here the past week or so. It's been, you know, 80s during the day, mm-hmm. high 60s at night, mm-hmm. really cool and breezy. I'm feeling it. I'm not, you know, it was raining today actually, but it was a nice rain. It's not like when it rains in San Francisco when you want to leave your house never.
Yeah, that's a bit like Vancouver as well. I mean, I think that's very much a West Coast thing, that when rain hits on the West Coast, it just sort of drops this gray shroud over everything.
Yeah, it's not, and there's no thunderstorm. This is the thing, is that here you get thunderstorms, which are awesome.
Yes.
And agreed. I think in the 15 years I lived in San Francisco, I experienced two. And both times everyone lost their fool minds. People like, what the fuck? It was again. I'm like, oh my God. It was on the news. You know, they're like, there had not been a thunderstorm in the Bay Area since 1960.
Well, you know, the same thing happens sometimes when we see people getting slammed by what they consider to be a snowstorm.
You're like, oh, how cute.
Yeah. Oh, look at you slipping and sliding. Nobody knows how to drive anymore. Aren't you just the sweetest thing?
Super pathetic, though, I have to say. People in California can't drive in the rain. It's apocalyptic.
I wouldn't even want to see what happens when they try to drive in the snow.
Death?
Amazing. No, not amazing. It's bad. It's bad when people have the car crashes.
It is. It's very terrible. But not when if there's snow on the ground and you're driving like either there's no snow on the ground or you're driving as though you have nowhere to be for the next 6 years, both of those things are bad.
Yes.
You know, you can be a reasonable person. This has now become the like bitching about weather podcast. So just in case you've just tuned in.
this is not it's not gonna all be like this.
It's like,
the next hour is not gonna be complaining about the weather.
It's like the most cliche thing ever.
Wow.
But like, no, but totally sincere. I just realized I was like, we have been talking about the weather for 4.5 minutes.
I know. Now I feel like we need to talk about politics and religion and either cupcakes or cronuts, depending on what part of the country you're in.
Cronuts?
Oh, come on. You haven't heard of the cronut?
No.
What's funny is that it's actually in New York. This is where I've heard about it from. The cronut is a combination of croissant and donut.
Croissant and what?
Donut.
But how is that even a thing?
It's like I don't even it, people line up for at like an hour to get this baked good.
I guess, are you sure it's American?
You think that would be Canadian?
Don't know. You guys do weird shit. You have gravy on your fries. Don't tell me that a cronut is something that's intrinsically American.
You know what doesn't happen in Canada? People don't line up for an hour and a half first thing in the morning to get their hands on some poutine.
Well, that's because poutine is not a first thing in the morning food.
Yeah, fair enough. I am pretty sure that it's American. I'm pretty sure that it's in New York. I have heard rumblings of the fantasticness of the cronut. But I still end up thinking that anybody who would line up for one of those things, I don't even know what to think.
Unless it's an actual bird testicle, I'm really not interested.
My understanding is that it contains no bird testicles. Now, I will say that I've been getting my information mostly from the internet, which isn't necessarily, the bastion of specificity.
No.
So, but shall we move on and talk about something that's not the weather and food?
I don't know. This is going to be a whole episode where I trick everyone to listen to it. There's actually no discussion about BDSM at all.
Right. Well, that's what happens in episode 10.
Actually, it's not episode 10. It will be episode 11 because episode 10 was me talking to my roommate,
Oh.
the famous Laura Antonio.
Oh, I missed it. I'm gonna have to
Yep,
go back
you
and
have to
listen.
go
All
listen
right.
to it. Yes. So yeah, actually, now that we are, just the food, we talked about food, we talked about the weather, politics, bad. I don't want to talk about that.
No, but talk a little bit about Laura, because she's got a big thing coming up tomorrow.
Yes, well, by the time this posts, it will be today,
Right.
which is the reading, which I posted a link to, marking the 20th anniversary of the marketplace, which is kind of an amazing thing in and of itself. But then it's even more amazing when you hear about her entree into writing the marketplace, which is basically a, hey, I don't like any of the BDSM porn out there, so I'm going to write it myself, which is the best way to do things. And then when you hear about her start in writing smut, how that came about, and why she wrote under a male pseudonym for years and made very good money doing that. But so yeah, so that's exciting. She should listen to that. It's episode 10, which you can
Okay.
find right before this one, and JP will eventually catch up.
What's interesting about that is I have had in the past 3 months about four people come to me and ask me if I wanted to find some good kinky smut, like literary smut, good smut, where would I look? And of course, the first thing that they kind of drop on me when they ask me that question is because I've heard 50 Shades of Grey is really bad. So, and I sort of nod and say, I did not enjoy it. Many people do. It's not particularly well written. Like
It's not well written at all. It's not that it's not particularly well written. It's terribly written. It's
it's
awfully
terribly.
written. Let's be clear.
And then I say, they say to me, oh, so have you read it? And I said, yes, I read the first one because I was getting asked so much about it. I didn't want to find myself in a situation where I was commenting on something without actually knowing what I was commenting about.
Why let that stop you?
I don't know because, well, I actually had a friend of mine who is now writing for CNN ask me about the book. And so I was talking to a friend of mine. I feel like I can, do a little bit of the talking out of my ass about the thing, but I can't do that for CNN. Like that's not that I got a phone call with like a fact check or anything, but still, to think there's, even though it's online, I trust my friend. I wanted to give her accurate information. I didn't want to have to
All right.
preface the thing that I was saying by, preface everything that I was saying with. Now, I haven't read the whole book, but crap, crappity crap, crap, crappity crap, crap, crap. Like that is remarkably unfair. So, but the reason that I'm bringing this up is that when people ask me that question now, I say, okay, you have to read the marketplace.
Right.
Like the first thing that I will sort of nudge people towards is the marketplace. I send them links to the ebooks. I lend out my version to try to get them, into the series, and then I say, and there's four more. Like it's because I've read them all. I really enjoy them all, and I think that more people should read them as a sort of as an example of what really smart, sexy, hot, character-driven kink literary smut can be. And I've had a couple of people read the synopsis of it and say, oh, I don't know if that's for me. I'm not so much into the ideas of sort of slaves gives me a little bit of it sort of freaks me out a little bit. I was like, okay, yeah, that's fine, that's fine. And I mean, it's if it's your first foray, for some people it could be a little bit like, whoa, everybody's having sex with everybody else, and there's the slave training, and everybody's getting punched, and who is this dude? And
Everybody's getting punched.
well, like this is the impression that some people might have, right? And for a great many of us, the appropriate response to that is like, yay, with applause. For some people, it's going to be a little bit more like, whoa, this isn't what I was expecting it to be. This is harder than I was expecting it to be.
Right. And fair enough.
And fair enough, right? It's funny to use this language again, but it certainly is not a book I feel that pulls a whole lot of punches,
Yes.
to its credit. And I actually got into a really interesting conversation with somebody about the marketplace as it about the marketplace versus 50 Shades, and some of the community uproar around 50 Shades, the sort of the vehement, like, this is bad, this is not us, this is blah, 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 the fire and brimstone, keep it away, keep it away, anathema unclean, anathema unclean. And when people start going on about this, one of the things that I always that I one of the things that I like to bring up is like, well, what actually did you expect? Did you expect this woman, E.L. James, this sort of fanfic writer, to try to represent a community or a subculture or a confederation that she's not a part of, that she has no connection to, and therefore feels virtually no responsibility to? Did you actually expect her to try to write it in a way that was fair and balanced or accurate?
Well, I think the problem is that first of all, the fact that it is an SM themed book was an accident and an overlay, right? That was not her initial intent. So you've got that problem. Second of all, yes, you've got the problem of it's not an insider POV, and it is not it falls with the standard kind of like, well, here is why people are fucked up. It's part of the reason I cringe anytime you see a profile of someone who's kinky, and then suddenly issues of their abuse history comes up, and it's like, yes, I know that that's true, but this is what everyone assumes, is that we are quote unquote like this because we got fucked up somehow, and this book underscores that, as does, every CSI episode and all that pathology. So you hope that the healthy, happy people will step up as well and have their day in the sun, which is part of the reason why I feel really inspired. I just got this wild hair up my ass. I'm like, I'm going to drive across country, and it's going to also be my documentary. It's going to be the root of my documentary about how we're not all crazy and fucked up.
Yes, which is awesome. And actually, I don't know because I haven't. Because I haven't.
It's Coco. Hello, kitty. Of course, now she's like, I will be mute.
Sort of. I'm actually sort of holding her up, so she's standing on 2 feet, which is kind of right in front of me. And I'm only going to do this right up until the point that she looks like she's going to claw my face,
Nice.
and then she goes
There you
away.
go.
No, what I was going to ask you was, did you talk about your tour in episode 10?
I did not.
Well, hell, I think that Can we disagree that the marketplace is awesome and that 50 Shades of Grey is lacking?
Oh, we can. And we can underscore that by saying, if you are yourself a kinky person, go ahead and read the marketplace and all of those books. And Laura has another book that that actually is also really hilarious. I don't know if you read The Killer Wore Leather.
Not yet.
Which is, I was terrified and horrified because, you know, between you and me, and I didn't tell her afterwards, I fucking hate mysteries. I hate them.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh, I just read a mystery. How are you going to like the person you live with who's like one of your BFFs, guardian angel, you know, most awesome person on the planet is writing a genre that you abhor? And I know it was painful. And then I was like, eh, and read it. And I was like, oh, no, this is great. So if someone who hates mysteries gives this book two thumbs up, you know you have to fucking read it. It's not even my genre. I'm always just like, I don't think it's fair. You don't give me a shot to the thing. And I'm not even enjoying the story. I'm trying to figure out some shit. And my brain just doesn't like them. But that book is out. And she has the next edition of the marketplace coming out, The Reunion, which is apparently going to be split into two books, I think, or double volume, because it's that fucking huge. It's like 1,000 pages.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's nuts. People are going to like rub their genitals against this when it comes in the mail, because there's so many words and so much awesomeness that people are just going to shit their pants.
And who doesn't love rubbing their genitals?
I don't know. No one who I want to know.
Well, that's how you can tell that a book is yours.
When you have the special scent on it.
Yeah. So that's books. But now let's move away from books. We're 50 minutes into this thing. This is awesome. So now we're going to move away from books and talk about your tour.
Yes, we can talk about my tour. That's fantastic. So long story short, and there will, of course, be a link here. Basically, I had this wild hair up my ass about driving across country and wasn't sure how that was going to work out. And some of it was about first bringing some shit I had from California back to New York. I was like, I'll rent a U-Haul. And then that was going to cost me a few $1,000s. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll just get rid of almost all of it, but the stuff I can fit in a car, and that's what I'll take back east. And so I was looking at maybe renting a car, and then all this other shit's going on, and that was going to cost a couple $1,000s to rent a car and drive it one way is the other thing, is that there's another fee for that. And then a friend of mine said, well, it'd be cheaper for you to just ship the shit via Amtrak. And I was like, well, maybe I'll just do that. And then another friend of mine was actually selling her car for less than it would be for me to rent a car, right? Uh-huh. And I was like, oh shit, that'd be kind of amazing. And also it's a late model bug, like the new bugs, which I love them so much.
That's pretty great.
They're the cutest, and it's pale blue and adorable, and she's selling it for a completely reasonable price. I'm like, that's it. I will buy the bug. I'll drive across country, and I'll book speaking gigs, and it'll be a whole adventure. And then I was like, and I'll film it, and then I'll make a documentary. So now it's become like this miniature epic quest, and I've already started booking gigs on it. So,
oh, fantastic!
So that's really cool. So I have three gigs in San Francisco, a gig in Utah. I'm working on stuff for possibly Nevada up in Reno. Working on stuff for Denver. Got a couple feelers out in Omaha. Got some feelers out in Minneapolis. Definitely got gigs
in Omaha.
I know. It's hilarious. But I know one person in Omaha, and I wrote to her, and she happens to be one of the people who's involved in running, like, the group in Omaha.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see if that works out. And definitely doing a bunch of shit in Madison and what's the other? Wisconsin? The place in Wisconsin. Madison and Milwaukee. So I have stuff I'm going to be doing there, and then a gig in Chicago, and then actually just got off the phone with the fabulous Dr. Ruthie, who was giving me some recommendations for your neck of the woods, and
fantastic.
Of course you are also going to wave some magic wing wangs and make that, I don't mean wing wangs, I mean wands.
That's fine.
Could you wave your wing wang? Something wonderful happens, I'm sure. And then from Toronto, continue on back to New York, and then that'll be my tour. And then I'll be at home for about 3 days and get on an airplane to fly back to Seattle. Because I know, it's hilarious. It's so awesome. I left myself a few days flex time just in case things got really woogie.
Yeah, that's always a good idea when you're driving across the country. A little bit of flex time is helpful.
And so, yeah, so it's kind of exciting and kind of amazing and kind of nuts,
Yeah.
but that's really the story of my life, so.
And is the full itinerary posted somewhere? So if people want to know sort of where you're going to be and like roughly when you're going to be, then they can
Not
see it.
fully, not yet. What you can do is look at my calendar. If you look on my website, if you go up to the scroll bar, somewhere up there, it's like Getmo or it says something like that, and I'll put the link up there. Has my calendar. My calendar, if you look at October, November, has a tentative itinerary, has a tentative route. So there'll be like these 2 days in Utah and these 3 days in Denver with a bunch of question marks on a whole lot of it. And one or two dates that have been solidified, like I'm doing a gig in Chicago on the 30th, and I'm in Utah for the second weekend in October, and those things as they come in. So I know roughly in what cities I'll be in, just not exactly what I'm doing yet. But if you see this and you're like, oh my God, you're gonna pass by Butte, you should come and do a thing. Drop me a note because if it's not too far off of the main drag, I could possibly do that.
And who knows, if you show up in somebody's city or they invite you there to do a thing, maybe they'll end up on this podcast.
That would be awesome. Because I do plan on filming and taping and recording as much as folks will allow. This is the thing about a lot of kinky people is that they don't want to go on record.
Right.
And I think that doing it from my POV and knowing that anything I shot or I used would absolutely not be for some freak show purposes, and it would not be for exploitative purposes. It would be, hey, let's tell our stories. Are you willing to roll up and share that? Because I think the secret of nature of what we do is really hot and really sexy, but I think it also breeds a lot of shit that's problematic, like secrecy and shame, where people shouldn't have to have secrecy and shame. And then when things go wrong, people don't want to be out about even having a good experience in kink. Do you think they're going to want to be out when something goes awry? I have this hope that maybe somehow we will have hit this watershed moment. People will be like, yes, I will tell you my story, Mo Williams. And then we will edit it all together into a documentary that will change the world and be shown everywhere, and people will weep and embrace perversion.
Well, I think that would be really great. I mean, the weeping and embracing, yes, that's great. But the giving somebody a chance and giving somebody a supportive chance to tell a story that is, that is truthful from them and is being able to tell a story, being able to express a way that each person's individual involvement in whatever form it takes with kink or fetish or BDSM or whatever aspect, whatever form that takes, to be able to tell a story about a way that that has been healthy and happy making. I think you're right. I think it would do a lot to break the sort of standard societal narrative that supports the idea that everything we do is wrong, that everything we do is bad, and everything we do is harmful.
And that everything we do is done in secret and with intent to degrade in a way that's not uplifting, to understand that people find some things that look and sound terrible to actually be really exciting. And when you get people to tell their story, it's always very different. You can read all the documentation you want. You can look at every article about that study that came out recently that showed that kinky people had higher self-esteem and slept better at night and had longer hair and better fingernails and all this other science. And that's really great. But if you have one person sitting there just telling you, you know what, I love this and this is why it works for me, or I don't know why it works for me. It just does, and it makes my life better, and it makes me and my partner's sex lives wonderful, and we communicate better, blah, 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 and all this stuff. It's remarkable how much power that has.
Yes, totally. And doing it in a way that is sort of more easily shareable, I think is a fantastic step to take. To do it in a way that is, as you will be doing it, in a way that is across the country. So it's not just we're hearing these stories from major urban centers.
Right.
which I think is another way in which it can seem like this is the only place that it happens. And if it doesn't happen here and in this way, it's not valid.
Exactly. And I would love to, you know, even if I can just, as I'm getting closer to the dates, let people know, even if I'm not stopping to do a whole whatever, if I'm driving past your town and you want to take an hour and sit with me at a Denny's and just talk to me for 15 minutes about, you know, your kink and where you're from and why you do it. Stuff like that, I think, would be really, really revealing and really kind of beautiful in a way that I don't think we ever get to see.
No, and there's a side effect, I think, of being someone who lives genuinely and truthfully and publicly in a very sort of open way. That there can be problems when you are somebody who is out. Obviously, you can hit a great deal of prejudice. You can hit a great, massive lack of understanding. You can hit all kinds of problems. But all of that I find sometimes is balanced against the benefits that come from showing somebody else from showing somebody else that it can be normalized. And that it's not something that needs to be, it's not something that needs to be shoved down. It's not something that needs to be kind of tucked away into a corner. That you can live genuinely. You can live openly. And sure, you'll run into some conflicts, but everybody runs into some conflicts for some reason or another. But and as long as you can live genuinely and live openly, and there's a difference between doing that and being a flag waver. Right, there's a difference between doing that and living in a way that is proclamatory. So if you just can find the space and the time and the energy and the support system, whatever that looks like for you, to live in a way that is genuine, it's I think it's worth noting how much that can help those people who, for whatever reason, aren't able to live genuinely.
And it's the first time I really realized what the impact of that was when I did my solo show, 69 Stories, One Pervert's Tale, which I will hopefully also be doing on the tour as well. Definitely in Madison, I'm going to be doing a couple shows there. But what I found was sort of amazing about that was that I you know, did the show. First couple times was a short version of it, and I had a woman that I knew from the scene. We weren't BFFs, but I knew her. Come back to the show with a group of friends, and at the end of the show, introduced me to her mom, and said,
Wow.
"I bought my mom to see this show because I felt like she would understand me if she could see you talk about what we do." And I was like, "Wow."
That is amazing.
And so it was not just a way for her to come out, but it was a way for her to come out in a way that felt safe. So she felt safe. She felt confident enough to bring her mom, you know, and her mom was sort of like a bit shell shocked, but obviously really game, and said, you know, just listening to your stories, it just, she said, you seem pretty happy. And I was like, I am. It's not a bad and terrible thing. And I appreciate you being willing to listen to my story. That was really remarkable. And so I said to myself, wow, that's activism. I hadn't thought about it in those terms, but that's what it became for me. And not just a look how awesome SM is, because, you know, it's not all awesome. And I talk about some of the less awesome stuff, but the point is that having the dialogue, having the discussion is so much more alive when you bring an artistic movement to it. That's why I think that the documentary, that the film, that kind of storytelling is so important and so vital. So I'm super excited to be able to do it. And since my life has a way of sort of grabbing things and going, oh, you thought it was going to be this, and it's going to be this other thing. Who knows what it'll wind up being at the end, but it'll be something kind of awesome. And we have like 30 seconds.
Right. So what I want to do is I think that what we hit on something there that was really cool, which is you talked about activism, and then you talked about performance as a tool of activism. And I wanted to maybe talk a little bit, and we can continue this in the next one, to continue a conversation about activism, how it contrasts against something that is proclamatory versus something that is genuine,
Absolutely.
and the benefits of performance and the problematic aspects of performance.
Cool. All
All
right.
right.
So hopefully that is all got. Where is my little thing? Where'd you go thing? Here we go. Okay. Do, 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 do.